I'm sure this has happened to you at one particular point in time, maybe several times, maybe many times. You read a portion of scripture and you say, gee, I don't understand that. I'm confused, or how can this be, or whatever. And like I said, I'm sure that has happened to you. It certainly happened to me. And I wanted to talk about one particular scripture today that from the time I first got saved, when I read this, it was a little difficult to understand. And I've since learned more about it, and I just wanted to share it with you. So here's the first one. This is from Hebrews. It says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he, meaning the Father, who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And I made a reference down there in case you're not familiar with Melchizedek. You can find out more about him in Genesis and later on in Hebrews. But it's not important relative to what I wanted to talk about, but I just didn't want to create any confusion. Okay, he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who, and this is speaking back to Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And I could comprehend everything until that last line. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I said, Jesus needed to learn obedience? Wasn't he always obedient to his Father? And for the longest time, that kind of confused me. And I don't know if that confuses you at all, but it stuck with me for a long time. How is it that Jesus needed to learn obedience? He's God, isn't he? He existed forever, right? No beginning, no end, the Alpha and Omega. How is it that he could learn obedience? But then, over time, I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, yes. He walked the earth in human form. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. And in his humanness, his human nature, he needed to learn obedience. The God part, that was fine. He didn't need to learn anything. But he was also human. And scripture tells us that he experienced the same things that we experienced in our lives. And that's why he could so readily relate to us and have compassion on us, because he understood the things that we go through, the temptations, the oppression, the word escapes me right now. But in any event, all the things that he went through are the same things that we go through. Now, that word suffered doesn't mean like pain and agony. It just means the things that he experienced, the challenges, the temptations, the struggles of existing as a human, experiencing the need to sleep, the need to eat, the need to rest, the resistance that he faced, especially from the religious people of his day. All the things that he went through. All of those things taught the humanness in him how to be obedient to God the Father. And that was so very important. It was so crucial that he go through those things and the human part of him learned that obedience. And this is why. We have this next scripture. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." See, the human part of him is saying, "I don't want to die this horrible death. If there's a way, Father, please let there be a different way so that I don't have to experience that." But he said, "Nevertheless, your will be done." He was obedient to the Father. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The human part of him did not want to die on the cross. But the God part of him was always obedient to the Father. But his human nature had to learn to be obedient. So when he came to this point in time, he could say, "No, I don't want to go through this. If there's another way, Father, please make it. But I choose to be obedient to you. I choose to do your will, even if it means dying a horrible death on a cross." I just have to remember the last scripture that I did. Oops, it's in here someplace. Okay. Sometimes I forget little things. But I think you get the picture anyway. Jesus needed to experience all the things that he went through in order to be able to come to that place in Gethsemane where he knew what was coming. He would say, "Nevertheless, your will be done, Father." Think about all the things that Jesus did leading up to that point, all the miracles that he did, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons, walking on water, feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. And again, another 4,000 in the same way, turning water into wine. All of those things, those wonderful things that he did. He was always obedient to his Father. The last scripture. Which leads me to this. Mark chapter 16. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." There is a promise to us. I've spoken about this before. And Jesus said in another place, "These things that I do, greater than these will you do because I go to the Father. But I will send a helper to you. And it is that helper, the Holy Spirit, that empowers us." But in order to be able to do those things, in order to be able to be like Jesus in Gethsemane, saying, "No matter what, Your will be done, Father. No matter the cost to me, no matter the cost to me personally, I will do your will. We have to learn obedience in the same way that he did. The experiences that we have, the challenges, the temptations, the persecution, that was the word I was trying to think of before and it didn't come to me. All those things that we experience, the hardships, all meant to teach us obedience to God. Where we choose to say, this is nothing, Lord. I choose to obey you, even though I may need to live in poverty, even though I may need to experience persecution, even though I may be in need because of where you send me or what you tell me to do. I'm willing. Jesus was always willing to do his Father's will. The thing that we need to remember, in particular with this scripture, I think we would all love to do the things that Jesus did. We would all love to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, work miracles in the same way that he did. I'm sure we would all love to do that. I'm sure that we all think about what it would be like to be able to do some of those things. But this is the promise that we have from him, that we can if we believe. But if you want to walk in power, you need to first walk in obedience, just like Jesus did. You want to walk in power, you need to first walk in obedience. That's the prerequisite. That's the training that we need to go through in order to be entrusted with the power of God. He wants us to have that gift, to have that power flow through us. But if he can't trust us to handle it properly, that we don't go off and do something on our own that's contrary to his will, it's not going to happen. So those things that we experience, those things that we go through, are all meant to teach us how to be obedient in the same way that Jesus in his humanness learned it. And that power will come once the Father is satisfied that we can handle it, that we will be obedient to him in all things. So if nothing else, just take that with you. If your heart's desire is to walk as Jesus walked and do the things that he did, then you must learn how to be obedient. And don't take these things that come upon you, these challenges or whatever, as something evil or as some punishment or anything like that. It's all meant to lift us up to the place where he can bestow that power upon us. So praise God. Remember that. Obedience is the key. Basically the key to everything. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Even though it's a hard thing, we thank you for the trials and tribulations that we face. Because everything you do, everything that you allow to happen to us, everything that comes our way that you allow has a specific purpose and a good purpose, because it's molding us and shaping us into the people that you want us to be. And that's to be more like Jesus. Help us to remember the next time we encounter a difficulty, not to get upset or angry or frustrated, but say, praise God, you are in this, Lord. You will get me through it. You will help me. And it's all meant to do a work in each one of us that will be to the praise of God and to his glory. In the end, will be that we will shine like stars in heaven when Jesus returns and transforms us to the fullest. But in the meantime, we are being transformed little by little by little, each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you send our way, the things that are meant for our good. They are truly blessings. We thank you for them all, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.